You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
23 minutes now past four. Once again, I haven't left myself an enormous amount of time for the book review. I was in the book lounge recently. I try to go there as often as I can. And I saw The Goodbye Coast, a Philip Marlowe novel by Joe Eday. They learned that's how it was pronounced. I thought Philip Marlowe, but he's a detective of Raymond Chandler. So I took it home with me, and I discovered that Joe Eday, who's a Japanese-American writer, spent a long time in the screenwriting industry without ever having his screenplays made into a film, and then he decided to move away from screenplays and move into writing thriller novels. And he had decided to reimagine the Philip Marlowe character in contemporary Los Angeles. And I read it, and I enjoyed it. I don't think it was any great shakes. I don't think it was a particularly good reimagining of Philip Marlowe. But I did a little bit of reading about him, and I was told by quite a few of the articles that he had a series called the IQ novels, which was really very, very good. So I downloaded the first two and on Kindle, and I have read them and thoroughly enjoyed them. It's IQ because the central character is somebody called Isaiah Quintabe, and he's a young black man who grew up in South Central LA in an area which has a lot of gangs and where there's an enormous amount of violence and drugs and so on. And his brother is his only connection with the world. He's incredibly smart. He's a loner, but he is unbelievably smart. And he has no friends other than his brother. And his brother is killed in what looks like a hit and run. And he goes off the rails. He leaves school. He abandons what would have been an extraordinary career as, I don't know, a nuclear physicist or something. And he drifts around. And eventually he starts helping people solve little problems. And eventually, without having a PI's license, he becomes somebody to whom people turn when they want a mystery solved. And these first two, the first one is just called IQ, and it's about a rap mogul whose life is in danger, and Isaiah's asked to investigate, and there's a vengeful ex-wife, there are some notorious cutthroats, there is a monstrous attack dog, and a hitman who even other hitmen say is lunatic. And the dialogue is incredibly snappy. If you don't like four-letter words and their many derivatives, then I suggest you stay away from these. So the first one is just called IQ, and the second one is called Righteous. And I cannot wait to read the other two. It's kind of Elmore Leonard on crack. So if you've read Elmore Leonard, imagine what Elmore Leonard might have written if he'd been taking methamphetamines before he started writing every day. A very, very different, call it a literary novel, by an Irish writer called Louise Kennedy. Again, the book that I read called Trespassers was the first time I'd heard of her. A little bit of background research. She was a professional chef for 3 decades, and then she decided she didn't want to be in the kitchen. She wanted to create differently. And she wrote a book of short stories, which I'm now trying to source. And then this first novel, it's called Trespassers. That's trespassers without the R. So not people who trespass, but the act of trespassing, and many of them. And it is set in Northern Ireland in 1970s, at a time when the sectarian troubles, are pretty much at their worst. And it tells the story of 24-year-old teacher Cushla Lavery. And she is teaching 7-year-olds at a Catholic primary school. And the 7-year-olds have no memory of life that doesn't include the troubles. So these 7-year-olds use words like gelignite and internment because that's part of their lives. It is one of these mixed towns, so there's a significant proportion of both Catholics and Protestants, but relations between the two are teetering on a knife edge. And she meets in a pub a Protestant, she's Catholic, and she meets a Protestant, he's older, he's married, and the story of their relationship and how the relationship becoming public knowledge would literally lead to their death. So every time they meet under sentence of death. And it also tells the story of her involvement in the home life of a pupil called Davy McGowan, who's being terribly bullied at school. And he's goofy, but he's earnest and he's lovely. And she kind of, you know, he steals her heart. And these two twin tracks are taking to you what you think must be tragedy in each of them. There is no way you think that this story can end well. The characterizations are superb. The writing, the ability with language. I mean, there's one that I underlined. I don't normally underline in books, but she talks about mothers waiting outside school in the rain, and she describes their umbrellas touching like a badly made quilt. And it's full of that sort of poetic description, but at the center of it all is an absolute conviction in the power of the relationship and the belief that relationships should be allowed to happen, even if they are seen by society as being trespassing on societal norms. It is a tender, heartbreaking, and so, so readable love story with enormous literary content. Trespassers by Louise Kennedy. And then the non-fiction book is, it's not an easy book to read. It's called My Fourth Time We Drowned, with a subtitle Seeking Refuge on the World's Deadliest Migration Route. And it's by, there's a bit of an Irish theme here, it's by an Irish journalist called Sally Hayden. And Sally Rooney gives the shout on the front page, the most important work of contemporary reporting that I have ever read. In 2018, the author Sally Hayden gets a Facebook message from an Eritrean man. He's locked inside a refugee detention center in Libya. Armed conflicts are happening in the streets outside. And the people who are in this prison have a cell phone, which is shared by hundreds of refugees. And Sally Hayden gets this message from this Libyan, from this Eritrean man. And this leads her for the next 3 years to exhaustively investigate how thousands of migrants end up detained indefinitely. They endure the most inhumane of conditions in so many clandestine detention centers across Libya, which are funded by the EU, because the EU is paying the Libyans and paying the Libyan Coast Guard and paying Libyan paramilitaries to stop the migrants getting onto boats and making their way to Europe. So what you have is a layering between the first person testimonies from refugees. Sally Hayden built a number of really important and close relationships with some of these refugees. And so she tells their stories, and their stories are absolutely heartbreaking. And she also gives a history of what is really, I mean, let's face it, it's an extremely complicated situation. She is very critical of the corruption within the NGOs that are supposedly helping these people. They're much more concerned with the cars they drive, the salaries they earn, the people they can sleep with, than they are concerned about the plight of the people that our NGO meant to help. And it also, you know, she's very critical of the United Nations agencies that are supposedly providing support. So, I mean, it's a modern day slave trade. They're corrupt smugglers who are kidnapping migrants. They're crowdfunded ransoms. They're starvation. They're suicide. They're all of these things. So it's not an easy and comfortable book to read. But I think it is, you know, I would almost, well, maybe I would go as far as Sally Rooney, the most important work of contemporary reporting I've ever read. Perhaps I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that it is an incredibly important work of contemporary reporting, and I found it invaluable to have read. My Fourth Time We Drowned by Sally Hayden.